You may have noticed that JJ and Corey are not actually up here on the platform. Knowing that they were headed on vacation this week, Todd and they got together and recorded this so that they could still be with us and lead us in worship today. So we're thankful for the miracle of technology. And it prevented me from having to play piano for you today. Not gonna do it. Oh, it's so good. I don't know if y'all have had the opportunity. I know many of you probably have. But before you leave today, be sure and stick your head in the door next door to see our finished flooring. It is awesome. It turned out just incredibly well. So we're now looking at getting the door fixed and the fans in the walls and the walls repaired and paint on the walls. And we'll get our kids down there where they belong. And we can't wait for that to happen. So be sure and take a look next door and just be thankful for what God is doing. I'm so excited. In the series that we're in on prayer and fasting, and today we'll end that series and we'll go into a series about experiencing God and how we do that together starting next week. But for this today, we're kind of wrapping it up, and I wanted to do an inclusive wrap-up where we talk about prayer and fasting as the church. And I'll just be honest with you up front, if I repeat myself again, it's just because it's weighing so heavily on me. In 12 years of being a pastor, I've never called the church corporate to fast together. Now, I've encouraged it, I've taught about it, but I've just never done that. And I believe it's largely because of my ignorance, because I didn't understand. I don't know what the Bible is implying here about fasting. And this series has helped me develop a greater understanding of what that is. I don't have all the answers, certainly, but I do know that it is not required for Christians, but it is expected of Christians as we follow Christ. And so I just want us to have a greater understanding of how that works together and the opportunity that we have before us. It's no surprise, and I would imagine you would agree with me, that the South is known for their love of teams, team sports, and one of which would be football. That seems to be the banner sport, but we also have baseball and softball. And volleyball. There's so many sports that we just encourage and support. I'm thinking through of my children and all the sports that they've done over the years, and it's just something that we're part of. It's our community and it's our culture. Now imagine for a moment. So you have the team who comes together, they practice together, they know the plays together, they've worked together so they know each other's nuances. And then it comes time for the games, and most of the team says, you know what, we're just going to watch from the stands. We want to be with the fans, and y'all go do it. Now, do we believe that that would be an effective way to move forward with the sporting event? And no, Miss Peggy says, no, it would not be. We would not be as effective if most of our team was sitting in the stands cheering us on. We who are trained and gifted to do what we've been trained and gifted to do should be doing that. And that brings about the effectiveness of the team. The selection of verses that I'm using today might seem sporadic, but it's within the same chapter. But I'm highlighting some verses because of the focus that I want us to first understand the body of Christ, or at least have a deeper understanding, or maybe just be reminded of the body of Christ. And then we're going to link that to what fasting as a body of Christ would be, okay? So we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7, 11 and 12, and 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, begin with verse 4. I hear the pages turning. It blesses my heart as you come there with me. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. But as it is, this is verse 18, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. God's word is clear that the church is not for spectators. We don't come to watch what happens. We are to be included in the body of Christ. My prayer is, as we go through these verses, that we will see more clearly what our role is in the body of Christ. And that we'll respond to God's word, not because we feel guilty, but because we seek to honor God. It would not be uncommon to use these verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and to have tables lined up here and have every ministry opportunity in this church. And then study these verses and say, if you're not serving, come after the service and sign up. And that's kind of a guilt way to do it. And that's not what I want to happen. I want us to understand the body to such a degree, to understand what God is doing to us and through us, that we would be compelled to honor Him in service. I don't have sign-up sheets up here. Why are you here? Why did you get up this morning? Why did you prepare? Why did you come here and sit down? What do you hope will happen because you've been here? Now, these are questions we should ask ourselves, that we are preparing for something. And we're not going to be spectators, so what are we preparing for? If we come just as spectators, we get to watch other people experience God. If we come as spectators, we get to watch other people worship God. But we have no change personally. Pastor Ronnie Floyd said, "For too long the world has seen what the church can do. It's time, past time, that the world sees what God can do." We are the body of Christ. We're the hands and the feet of God here on this earth. We're the mouthpiece of God. If the world is going to see what God can do, He's going to show it through His church. Do you sense that there is more to being a child of God than what you're currently experiencing? Do you hunger for Him right now? Do you want more? And see, that's the prayer of my heart, that when we come together, that it's not to see what happens up here. It's not to see how well the instrumentalists do or the choir does or if Steve can get all this out without stumbling over his tongue, but that we've come to hear from God. What is God's word speaking to us, and how are we going to respond? There's so much more to walking with Christ than showing up for church. In Exodus chapter 33, verses 17 and 18, Moses asked to know God's ways, to know Him more. And God responded to that and assured him that would happen. But that was not enough for Moses. For he went on to say, "Show me your glory also." I believe the culture of church, and this is worldwide, we have become content with, "God, show me your ways that I might know you." But we've missed the component of, "Show me your glory." See, God's glory happens not as we come to know Him mentally, but as we take what He's teaching us and we employ that into our lives. When we walk in obedience, then we get to see the glory of God as He works through His people. A.W. Pink said this, This is both the longing of the redeemed and the goal of their redemption, to behold the glory of God. So as a child of God, you've been placed in the body of Christ, but for what purpose? According to Scripture, it's going far beyond learning about God, but it's to behold His glory. Referencing the body of Christ here, our passage states that there are varieties of gifts, there are varieties of service, there are varieties of activities. And to properly grasp that idea, we must look at church as the expression of our relationship with Him, not the source of Sunday morning entertainment. There's so much more to what we do here. And then what God intends here is for us to express our relationship. That verse says that through our relationship with the Holy Spirit, that we are given spiritual gifts. Through our relationship with Jesus Christ, we're compelled to serve. Through our relationship with God, we are empowered to do His activity in the world today. Verse 7 says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. In other words, your relationship with the Holy Spirit, He will manifest Himself in you in such a way that you can serve the church. And we think of it this way. You've probably asked the question. I know I have over the years. I've taken the spiritual test, the spiritual gift test, to see how God might be gifting me. And I've asked this, wonder what gifts I have. What is the gift of the Holy Spirit in me? And as I look at the passage here and I look back to Acts chapter 2, verse 38, we understand this. The Holy Spirit is the gift. And that is given to everyone who is a believer at the moment of salvation. The Spirit of God comes upon you and you now have the dwelling of God. For what purpose? Yes, He is the seal. He is the guarantee, but He manifests Himself in us through gifts to serve each other. And that's important for us to hear and to understand. Therefore, if we're not serving in the Lord's church, it says more about our relationship with Him than it does our availability to serve. Because He's done everything already to equip us to serve. Recalling from last week, when we come to realize that we are falling short of the glory of God, or we're in rebellion toward God, then we need to stop immediately. We need to act obediently. What is it that God's calling us to do? We humbly relinquish our authority. We step down off the throne. We take off our robe and we fall before Him and we cry out mightily. We turn from our ways and we pursue Him. When we know that, oh, I've missed this, what do I do? Well, you do something, and that's turn to God. God gave us His Spirit as a gift. And as He distributes His Spirit through us, and the Spirit distributes His gifts in us, it is for the purpose of accomplishing God's purpose as the church. So in the body of Christ, you're either contributing to the effectiveness of the body of Christ by sharing your spiritual gift for God's glory, or you're withholding your spiritual gift of God from the body of Christ. And that doesn't contribute to the effectiveness of the body. Verse 12 declares we are all members of one body. Too often we experience church, and this is really because of our culture, and it's because of our various experiences, that We perceive church as a group of individuals who gather together for a couple of hours on a Sunday. But that's not what God says we are. And if we don't recognize the value of being part of the body of Christ, we will not be fulfilled in the body of Christ. And we will move on to find fulfillment somewhere else. And we see this happen again and again. God designed the church to be one body, where we are entirely dependent upon Him as the head of the church, but we are fully interdependent as we follow Him in obedience. You've been added to this church
because we need you. And if you don't contribute what God has given you for us, then we're not effective in what God's design is for us. Verse 18 says, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. You might think, hey, I was driving down the road, I saw the sign, I thought I'd pull in. Well, I just like this personality. I like the personality of this church. I like the way this thing looks. Or God chose where you would be. And I would just simply put this way. If you've sensed God's leading to be here, to be a member of this body of Christ, it's time to join. It's time to become a member of the body of Christ. Make it official. If you've already joined and you've not fully committed, it's time to be fully committed to the body of Christ. Whatever it is God's leading us to do, we must obey, we must follow through. So how does this relate to fasting? I mean, that's the body. We saw last week in the book of Jonah that fasting is a corporate event as well. That the people of Nineveh heard the message that impending doom was upon them in a short period of time. And they fasted together. They prayed together. They humbled themselves together. They cried out mightily to God. They turned from their ways. The result was God relented. And they did not experience doom. Now, the next generation, not so much. They rebelled against God. They did not follow his ways. They did not cry out mightily to him. They did not repent. And 30 years later, Nineveh was destroyed. And as we look at this, we have to understand that the practice of fasting does not influence God. And if you've heard that in the past, or you can't get that out of your mind, we have to understand we're not influencing God. For if we influenced God through fasting, then how many of us need to fast for it to work? What if we have 25 people that volunteered to fast for good and God's up in heaven saying, well, if you had 26, you would have got what you wanted. See, we don't know that, do we? We have to understand that fasting does not impact God, it impacts us. We're letting go of the physical to pursue the spiritual. Practice of fasting does not cause God to answer our needs. It doesn't afford us any special treatment from heaven. So on the contrary, biblical fasting humbles our hearts as we seek God in his word through prayer. Fasting changes us, not God. Fasting aligns our hearts to him, not his to ours. We're giving up the physical to follow the spiritual. When humbly yielded to God together as the church, just as it was in Nineveh, God is magnified freshly and powerfully. You don't have to answer this out loud. Do you desire that God be glorified in that way? Through his church. Not as a spectator, but as one who has yielded to him. To see his move, his unmistakable presence and power. To realize the promises that he's made. Fasting is for a specific length of time for a specific purpose. So when we fast, when we talk about fasting, it's not going without food for the sake of going without food. That's called going hungry or a diet. And we're not talking about that. We might call a corporate fast to be something like this. Maybe a corporate fast for one meal or for one day. Or for 1 week. Maybe we could call a fast for 40 days and we each sign up for one of those days. And say, we can do that together. We can do that in unity. We can do that with a purpose. So we wouldn't call a fast for saying, okay, we're all going to fast this week. We would have a fast for a purpose. So it may sound something like this. Well, we're going to fast for one day that we would have a personal and corporate revival. Or we're going to fast for a week that we might be more effective in reaching the lost in our community. That we might fast together. That the churches in Coleman County would be effective in their ministry to reach the lost. So I'm going to do something I've never done before. And if you've seen the newsletter, you already know what I'm about to say. We're going to have the Lord's Supper a week or in 2 weeks from today. Right? What's the date? It's the first? Yeah, 2 weeks from today. So I'm going to ask that you join me for a fast on Saturday the 14th from 3 o'clock p.m. to 6 a.m. Sunday morning. So basically what that is, it's a one-meal fast. We're going to skip dinner. And instead of eating dinner, we'll spend 30 minutes in our own homes for a purpose. Here's the purpose. Because we're taking the Lord's Supper the next day, we'll pray that God reveals in us anything that needs to be repented of, that we might come to the table in a worthy manner. Secondly, we will pray that God's presence is unmistakable in corporate worship the next day. That His power is here and we know it. His presence is here and we experience it together. So that's the purpose. Now, if you're here today, you've already said, oh, but I can't miss a meal because of health reasons. I would say, understand completely. We've spoken about this before. You can fast from something else. You can fast from something else your Saturday night typically holds. You can fast from TV, from the internet, from a novel, from magazines. You can fast from the social media. You can turn off your phone. But whatever it is, you set everything aside physically and you go to God spiritually for 30 minutes of prayer for that purpose. If you're hungry after that, after that 30 minutes is over, spend that time in His Word. I'll give you some suggestions of passages to study when that time comes. But to seek His heart, to seek His teaching, and then to respond to His teaching as we are focused together corporately for this purpose. I'm confident that if we approach this with the right motive, that God will show Himself through His church. As we saw last week, there is no age restriction for fasting. So if you're a young person and you're a Christian, you are invited to join us in the fast as well. It might be to turn off your phone. Break away from social media for the purpose of a spiritual benefit. So what makes the difference here? Does it make a difference at all that we would come together and pray and fast for this purpose? What could we expect from a corporate fast? And I want to share with you 9 things really quickly. This is from a book from Dr. Ronnie Floyd about fasting, and he specifically addressed church fasting. And I just want to share real quickly some of the things that we can experience and expect from corporate fasting and prayer. The first one that we would experience is focus. Rather than listening to someone pray for a specific purpose. I mean, I can stand here and pray for the Lord's Supper, and I often teach about that and give you an opportunity to respond to God and to confess your sin before Him and to repent of sin in your life before you take the Lord's Supper. How much more of a focus will we have to go back even just one day, in preparation for that time and say, God, I want to be right before you. I want to focus my attention on you. And Lord, I want you to speak to me because I don't want to approach the table in an unworthy manner. If we all come to God sincerely and humbly and intentionally with a singular purpose, we're going to be focused together. As we yield to the Word of God, the Spirit of God teaches and empowers us. And the body of Christ will then become what God intends for us to be. The second thing is wonder. And as we focus spiritually, we discover that God is who He said He is, that God will do what He said He will do. And that increases our faith. And we just stand in amazement as we worship Him. And we see His holiness and His wondrous works. And we see it through God's Word of what He has done. And we see it in our lives and the lives of the church members that God is doing a mighty work in us. And we recognize this. It causes us to worship Him. Just the fact that we're permitted to be in His presence in prayer and fasting is remarkable. But listen, He also invites you to come into His presence. He invites you to be an element of His plan, that He can work through you to accomplish His mission. That should blow us away. That should make us fall to our knees in worship of who He is. Number three, we have sensitivity. When we pray and fast together, we become more aware of the Spirit of God, not only in our lives, but in our midst. Number four is unity. When we pray and fast together, it's unmistakable that we will experience unity together. Any kind of division within the church is not biblical. And this is why. First of all, we go back. Jesus prayed for unity in the church. Secondly, He gave us His Spirit, the unifying Spirit, to dwell within us. So if we have division, it means that someone is not following the Spirit of God. And that's something for which we need to repent of. If we're not living in unity, we need to adjust our hearts to God. We need to confess. We need to repent. And we need to pursue Him for His glory. As we humble ourselves before God together, He can accomplish in us spiritual breakthroughs that will bring about unity. I don't know if you saw the article this past week, but David Platt, who is an author and he's a pastor, he was in Birmingham for a number of years. His church is going through a mess right now, and it's publicized because he's kind of a famous pastor. But they were voting in some elders, and there was a small group of people within the thousands membership of the church who acquired the list of all the members and started disseminating misinformation so that they would not vote in the elders. And one of the ones that was quoted, and it was in the email that was sent out, was, if we vote in these two elders, David is going to sell our church to the Muslims and take the proceeds and give it to the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, that's just divisive. And David Platt stood before his church, and from the pulpit, he said, I've never had to do this from the pulpit, and nor did I ever want to. But he had to call out the people who were being divisive. But listen to the heart of David. He said, God can use this divisiveness to bring about unity. And God can do that. God is so much bigger than our little issues. So much bigger than our opinions. And we need to fall upon Him. We need to fall before Him. We need to cry out to Him. But that's a spiritual breakthrough. When you can take a mess like that and then have a unified body. That's a God thing. We also see growth. That's number five. Corporate prayer and fasting will bring growth to those who participate. Most Christians don't feel challenged in their walk with Christ. We're challenged to go to Sunday school. We're challenged to be faithful in attendance. We're challenged to give. We're challenged to go. But we're really not challenged in our walk with Christ. So for those who hear this teaching on fasting and they're now challenged to fast, even if it's for one meal together corporately, you will experience growth, spiritual growth. You might ask, well, why is that? Well, we develop a new attitude, a new spiritual attitude, a healthy attitude that would, on the back side of the corporate fast, on the 15th of August, we come back and say, God led me to do that. I didn't think I could. God led me to do that, and He did it. It's only by His grace and only by His strength that I did. And what that does is it increases our faith in the God who called us and the God who equipped us. And now what happens? We have this newfound faith that's increasing, and we see that in the body of Christ as we've come together for that purpose. And as we experience God in this way, the next thing God brings our way, we now have faith. Increased faith to step forward and say, I trust you with this. We can be part of that. Number six is anticipation. When the church prays and fasts together, there's a holy anticipation that we come together and we cannot wait to see what God's going to do. Instead of, I cannot wait to see when Steve is going to be done, is I cannot wait to see what God's going to accomplish in the lives of the church. I can't wait to see what He's going to say to me. I can't wait to hear from God today to change my life. People look forward to seeing what He's going to do. Likewise, when people experience God on their own outside, and we're doing a corporate fast in your own homes, we're doing that together in unity, you're experiencing God personally. And then when you come here on Sunday morning, when you come in and I come in, we bring our worship from the week into this place, and we lift it up in praise. So rather than this being a spectator event where we watch and see what happens here on the platform, what happens from the pulpit, we bring our experience of God in here with us and we worship Him. He's worthy of worship. And we can do that with our increased faith, our awareness of His Spirit. Number seven, we have a broadened vision. No longer will we talk about what we should do or what we should not do. No longer will we say, oh, I don't know if we have the resources to accomplish that. No longer will we say, I'm not sure what we're supposed to do as a church. But here's what the conversation will be. Look what God is doing. And look how we have joined Him in His work. Look what He's accomplishing. That broadens our vision. He reveals His desires to His church when we seek Him. And when He reveals His desires and we follow Him, things change. I don't want to stay the same. And I hope you don't want to stay the same. I want to experience God to the full. I want to experience Him as the church. Number eight, we have engagement. When we pray and fast together, we will engage the community as we see their needs. We have a heightened awareness of the Spirit of God, and we can see the needs around us, and we understand through God's Word, and we're more aware than we've ever been, and we respond with love and compassion to those around us. To follow Christ is to follow Him to the lost and to the broken and to the burdened, and it's to share the love of Christ with them. That's why we're here. It will not be an obligation of ministry when we see it from God's perspective. It'll be a privilege that we can serve Him in this way. That we are the extension of His hands and His feet. We're the extension of His mouth as we share His message. Number nine is the advancement. This is the last one. And as we pray and fast together, we find that we advance the gospel. The commitment of Christ and His command to us, the Great Commission. And you know the Great Commission is Matthew 28, and it's to go and make disciples of all nations. It's to baptize them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. It's to teach them how to do everything that God commanded. That's what discipleship is about. And we'll be able to do that to a greater degree as we grow in Christ. Because now we're going to recognize that people are lost without Jesus. They really are. We believe this. God's word says it, that if someone dies without Christ, they have an eternal hell to look forward to. And if that really is the truth in our lives, won't that burden us to share the truth with others? Not to say God hates you, but God loves you and He died to save you. We must understand that every person needs to be reconciled to God through Jesus. And if they're not reconciled to God, they're worshiping something or someone, and that's stealing God's worship, and we need to stop it. We know the truth. They may not have ever heard it before. It'll propel us forward as we do what God said He will do through us. Is there any reason why you would not want to cry out mightily unto God with your church family? Is there any reason you can think of why you would not want to pray and fast together with your church family? You've been placed here by Him for a purpose. What is His purpose? He reveals that to us as we seek Him together. As we wrap this up, biblical fasting will humble our hearts as we seek God in His Word through prayer. He is then magnified in His church freshly and powerfully. That's the power of fasting. Not to manipulate God, but to change my heart. Again, it's not required in Scripture. It's expected. So you're invited to join me in a corporate fast a week from Saturday. I'll send out more information as a reminder. What does God want to do? I pray that as we follow Him right now, that we'll experience something we've never experienced before as a body. We'll never know if we don't go to Him. As we close, Todd's going to play some music for us, and it's a time of response. So let me just share a few things for which you can respond. If you sense that God's leading you to be here, as a member of the body of Christ, West Point Baptist Church, your response today may be to say, I want to be a member here. I want to take that step. Maybe you've already taken that step, but you have not yet fully committed, and that would be your step. I know I'm a member here, but I know that I'm not doing what God has called me to do, to be a participant in the body of Christ. I'm ready now to be fully committed. It may be that you already know of rebellion in your life where you're falling short of the glory of God and you've not dealt with it. Today is the day that you deal with it. Confess before Him. Repent of it. Cry out mightily unto God. Repent of your ways and experience His grace. Lastly, you might not know Him at all. You've heard all about Jesus Christ. You know that He died on a cross. You know that He was buried. You know that He was raised from the dead. But what does that mean to you? It means you can be an overcomer. It means you can be saved from the pit of hell. It means you can be escorted to the gates of heaven for eternity. It means that you can be the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that you can be the church here today. Without Jesus, you're lost. Without Jesus, you cannot be reconciled to God. And if you've not taken that step, whatever's holding you back, get over that. Go around it and run to the cross. I'll be here in the front as you respond today. I want to lead us in prayer. And then we're just going to have a time of response. You can stay right where you are. If someone needs to get out, you go ahead and let them out. The altar will be open. Respond to God how you know that God wants you to respond right now. Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. You are the way. You're the truth. You are the life. No one comes to the Father except through you. And for those of us who have come, what a blessing it has been that you would give us the gift of the Spirit as we remain here. That you have gifted us to serve your church, that we might be effective in what you've called this church to be and to do. Lord, may we experience more of you today. Not just to know you more, not just to know your ways, but to see your glory. May it be so. Lord, whatever our commitment is right now, whatever our decisions are right now, may you be glorified above all. It's in Jesus' name I pray. I'm just going to invite you to stay in a spirit of prayer right now. The music will continue to play. I'm going to be here in the front. If you need to talk to me, come up and talk to me. If you need to come to the altar, you're welcome to. But let's respond to him right now.